Good evening and welcome to our meeting of Mid Ulster District Council and the Chamber Dungannon. Whether you have joined us remotely or in the Chamber, I specifically welcome the public watching us through the live broadcast. The live broadcast will run for the period of our open business and will end just before we move into confidential business. And I'm not going to go through the housekeeping because we should have that well rehearsed by now. And lastly, to remind the public and press that taking photographs of proceedings or using any means to enable anyone to present, to see or hear proceedings or making simultaneous oral report of the proceedings are not permitted. Thank you, and we will now move to the first item on the agenda. So apologies. So I've already got an apology from Councillor Ashton. Councillor Bale.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Black.
Present.
Councillor Brown.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Buchanan.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Burton. Yeah.
Present, Chair. And can I also record an apology for Councillor Wills Robison, please?
Okay. Councillor Clark.
Present.
Councillor Colvin.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Cuddy. Present. Councillor Cuthbertson. Yeah. Councillor Doris.
And Shaw.
Councillor Elliter.
And Shaw.
Councillor Ford.
Present,
Chair. Councillor Gildernew. Come back. Councillor Glasgow.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Graham.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Kearney.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Kerr. Councillor Mullaghan.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Martin.
Here, Chair.
Councillor McAleer. Niall McAleer, sorry. Councillor Sharon McAleer.
Present, Chair.
Councillor McFlynn.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Brian McGuigan.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Sean McGuigan.
Here, Chair.
Councillor McKenna.
Here, Chair.
Councillor McLean. Councillor McNamee.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Donald McPeak.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Sean McPeak.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Mullen.
Here, and Chair.
Councillor Mallory.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Monteith.
Yeah.
Councillor Mullen.
Present.
Councillor O'Neill.
Here, Chair.
Councillor Quinn.
Present, Chair.
Councillor Tatton. Councillor Wilson.
Here, Chair.
Okay, thank you. And then item three, any declarations of interest, if you want to make them now or as we work our way through the agenda. All okay. And then item four, Chair's business. So member,
Chair.
Oh, sorry.
Excuse me, Chair.
Oh, you're Chair. Here. Gotcha, all right.
Sorry, Chair. Thanks.
Okay, members, this is the first meeting of council since the heartbreaking tragedy that befell the community of Creasla and Donegal, a place that has many connections in Mid Ulster. I was struck at the time by the outpouring of sadness and grief in our own community, as we all watched the victims' families and the wider community there navigating through this incredibly difficult time. We continue to hold Creasla in our thoughts and prayers, especially now in the run-up to and during Christmas. This month certainly has been a busy one, and there are a few things of note to mention this evening. This very week marks 10 years of the Hill of the O'Neill. Its doors were officially opened on October the 24th, 2012, by the then First and Deputy First Ministers Peter Robinson and the late Martin McGuinness. Of course, it is the local people of Dungannon and Mid Ulster as a whole who have made the Hill of O'Neill and Ramfurly House such a success. It is clear the people of the town feel pride in the hill, as they would say, that much has been obvious over the past decade with the support they have shown to the programme there. Many of us here tonight have also attended a further two civic receptions this month, where a total of 45 local teams and individuals were recognised for their achievements in fields such as sports, traditional music, drama and volunteering. The stories told and achievements that were highlighted each evening really do our district proud. I was also delighted to attend a number of events this month that focused on one of my priorities of this year, being inclusion. Loneliness does seem to be on the increase, especially in rural communities. The Chatty Cafe, launched in Stuartstown this month by the Mid-Ulster Lonely Network as a way of helping our residents to go from feeling invisible to visible at the same time, feeling more connected to their local community, and I would encourage you all to call in for a wee cup of tea. I also attended a meeting of the Mid-Ulster Disability Forum, where I was able to recognise the work that the forum does by its contribution to making the district more inclusive in so many ways. I also took the opportunity to thank the forum for their contribution to the council's goal of improving physical accessibility across the district, and look forward to the continuation of the partnership approach in the future. Meanwhile, as businesses move out of the pandemic and look to the future, support has been given to 31 Mid-Ulster businesses who learned how to grow through change at a seminar held at CDE Global's groundbreaking premises in Cookstown. I would also like to take the opportunity to encourage all businesses in the district to join in the forthcoming Enterprise Week, which runs from Monday the 14th to Friday the 18th of November. During the week, 13 events for local businesses, both online and in person, will take place under this year's timely theme, Adapt, Evolve, Overcome, reflecting this year's focus on continuing the journey to economic recovery. Our capital investment programme continues to bear fruit. The completion of the latest impressive and highly anticipated shared space works in Cull Island is further confirmation of the Council's commitment to investing in the revitalisation of our towns, not only for their residents, but for their businesses, shoppers and visitors. And lastly, I would like to take this opportunity to offer my congratulations to the Ireland Women's Football Team, who have qualified for the World Cup, which has been a tremendous achievement, and I would like to propose to write a letter of congratulations to them. Councillor Kerr.
Thanks, Chair, for letting me in. Just copy the second proposal, Chair. As you rightly know, it's the first time that the Ireland women team has qualified for the World Cup. I hope it'll inspire young and aspiring females in our district and our own country that sometimes dreams do come through and always aim high. Thanks, Chair, for raising the issue, and it's definitely worth mentioning.
Thank you, and I'll just move on to the other items on Chair's business. Councillor Monaghan, you have an item.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose this issue is in relation to the return to school for most children, and for councillors, the first issue, I suppose, is in around making sure that children get their placements, but what can also be very stressful and difficult for parents is access to school transport. And I have found this year, above more years, very, very difficult to access and speak to people within the Department of Education regarding school transport. I'm still waiting on a response, an email I sent on the 31st of August, and now we're into the end of October, despite the fact that I keep sending emails and getting little or no response. So what I would ask you to do, Chair, if agreeable among councillors, is that we write a letter to the department and seek to get direct contact phone numbers and email addresses for the people who are relevant and responsible for the different areas, whether that's through the DEAs. I think a good example of that is where Road Service would give us a paper with the photographs and the names and the addresses. And if these officers do hold mobile phone numbers, which are paid for by the department, as councillors, we should also have access to those as well, because it's unacceptable to be sitting here at the end of October with parents ringing me, and I'm sure others as well, trying to find out about the allocation of school transport for their children and getting absolutely zero response. So make that a proposal.
Thank you, Councillor Monaghan, and I'm going to second that proposal because I'm in the same situation myself, trying to get answers for transport from the beginning of September, and you can't get through on the phone and no response from emails. And I know schools themselves, they have spoken about the difficulties in trying to get through or get work done on that. Some issues even gone on as long as a year that are health and safety concerns, so very happy to second that.
Sure. Chair, to just agree with both of you, I've been dealing with issues like that as well, and it's really very frustrating for school principals after having an era of phone calls about COVID that they have to spend all day trying to organise that. So you're absolutely right, and we should have those phone numbers. It's been very frustrating even to get people to return calls. You're absolutely right. That's good work.
Councillor Colvin.
Chair, thank you for letting me in. I absolutely agree with this. I've found some of the issues here in relation to schools transport very frustrating for myself as an elected representative, and I'm sure massively for the parents. And I also would like to go a bit step further. I find it absolutely illogical that in one situation I was involved with, this person, this child's, all her friends got free transport except her. And all her friends live in basically the same place or in the same vicinity. And I don't know if any other members have come across this, but I just can't. There's a darkness around the whole thing. You know, it's shrouded in mystery. And of course, it's very hard to get information. But I think it would be good if we as a council started maybe asking a few questions, because I have not been satisfied with the answers I've been getting. Thanks, Chair, for letting me in.
Councillor Burton.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And I think it is a very worthwhile point to make. I did ask the night that DFI was in that there would be more forthcoming. There seems to be a lot of change and new people coming on board where the Clocker Valley area is concerned. And sometimes the most frustrating thing is when you email in and you wait maybe weeks to get an actual response. So I think it is important that we as local representatives have the right contacts within DFI for the areas, and that we do get responses in a fairly time scale that you can work with, because it not only reflects on DFI, but it also reflects on us as public reps, because people come to us and it nearly looks as if we haven't went and did, you know, put the question forward. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Cuthbertson.
Yeah, Chair, I just want to take just a wee minute to highlight a significant milestone that a company based here in Dungannon has reached recently. Granny Air Packaging celebrated 50 years in Dungannon. The business was started in the 1970s under the name of Sanco Plastics. They started in a small shed in Tamla Moor and then moved to the Killyman Road in Dungannon. Granny Air took over in 2006 and has went from strength to strength since, and employing approximately 300 people in Dungannon. And with a turnover of £60 million, it truly is a world-class company operating on a world stage. Myself, Chief Executive, and yourself, Chair, were invited along recently to a celebration and to meet the Granny Air family, and it was a privilege to meet them and welcome them to Dungannon. And to highlight maybe if some of the members that appreciate wouldn't be familiar with Granny Air Packaging, they make all sorts of food packaging for Tesco's, Dale Farm, Nestle. I'm sure everybody was familiar with their Quality Street tubs this time of year. Well, every Quality Street tub in the UK and Republic of Ireland is made in Dungannon. So it's a real success story. And they're also putting back into the community. The hot water out of the factory is used to heat the Integrated College on the Gordmire Link Road. So it is a real success story. So I think it's only right that we just acknowledge it here at our council meeting and wish them all the best for their next 50 years.
Thank you, Councillor. I would just like to echo the sentiments. Myself and the Chief Exec were down that day too, and they're a very impressive setup. So congratulations on their anniversary.
Can I come in as well? Very successful for a minute when it was Jeremy Wilson. He started at a local man. I say just a wee bit disappointed. You know, some of people from our own party weren't invited to go along. I'd love to have gone down. I've been down in before with the new development of the storage and everything. But I say our invite must have got lost. Thanks, Chair.
Councillor McLean. That's no problem. We can pass on all our condolences. Very sorry to hear that. The next item, Councillor Niall McAleer.
Thank you, Chair. Over the course of the last few months, there's been a number of substitute teachers locally who've been experiencing issues with delays to their pay. And whilst emergency payments have been made, there's still a lack of clarity on when the issue is going to be resolved. So, you know, there's been teachers on to me there who don't know if they're going to be paid in time in November. So I'd just like to propose that through the Chair, we write to the Department of Education and the Education Authority to get some additional clarity on when those payroll issues will be resolved. Thank you.
and Councillor Donald McPeak.
Thanks, Chair. Recently was contacted by a constituent as regards the council role in the general repairs. It was a case that they were coming up, and I had raised it in the autumn of, I believe, 2019 under general repairs of competency. And I received no feedback as regards it. There was over 200, I believe, in the region of 200 issues raised. I presumed that COVID had had an effect, and it was only recently after I inquired that there had been no follow-up on this. So I'd like to ask, could a paper be brought to the paper as regards the general status and the general powers of competency at the minute? Thank you.
Yes, that's no problem at all. Councillor Kerr, you have an item.
Thanks, Chair, for letting me raise this. With many workforces we see on a daily basis working folk who are declaring they are unable to afford this crisis we are presently facing. And even with working full time, they are unable to put food on the table or fuel into the car, or a list of different choices they have to make to try and endure these attacks by unregulated capitalism. But tonight, I specifically want to mention the postal workers who are taking to the streets to ask for better pay conditions, better work conditions and guarantee of long-term work. And also just reflect the which way the help with the present cost of living crisis. Postal staff, along with many other essential workers, kept our letters and parcels moving during the recent COVID-19 pandemic. They're on the front line like many others. One Simon Thompson, the CEO of Royal Mail, earns a salary of $500,000 and a pension of 13.6, which is a base pay of $71,400 on bonuses, which greatly enhance his wage. These figures were taken from the Guardian newspaper. To add insult to injury, this company has announced thousands of redundancies in 2023, blaming the strikes as a part of the reason why workers are being thrown to the scrap heap. How can a man earn so much money, or yet people are being told this is no longer a job for you? This is disgusting and immoral. Chair, I'd like to propose that we invite the CWU, the Communications Workers Union, into council and give the council a presentation, but also to show solidarity by having the workers coming in and why they're being forced to strike, sir.
Councillor Monteith.
Chair, sure, happy to second that there. I think it's important we show solidarity with ordinary working folk here that are doing their best to stand up for for their families and for their income. It's the least we could do, and I think it would be important that we would hear from the local branches as to how they're going. I know a number of councillors have been up on the picket line showing support, and I think it is the least we could do, Chair.
Yeah, that's no problem. Completely agree, and we should be showing solidarity with our workers, and they deserve a fair day's pay for a fair day's work. Next item then, Councillor Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And it seems to be the topic this evening about poor responses from various departments. And this one might have serious consequences to the Mid Ulster District. I have raised this before about planning applications that are sitting before us of major developments, and the deadline for various departments to respond passes, and therefore we have a situation where we're waiting on the response from the statutory agencies. There is a major development that could create quite a number of jobs being proposed for Cookstown, and we're sitting waiting. The applicant is sitting waiting, and we're waiting on DFI Roads. We're sitting waiting on NIEA response to this. Now, I can appreciate that that sometimes it takes a wee while for the situation for them to respond, but this would be the second time or third time that they have been contacted looking at a response. On the 18th of this month, the NIEA followed up with an email now saying that we appreciate the concerns of those waiting for responses, and we will be focusing all resources on making responses as soon as possible. the department has consequently taken the decision that it will no longer be providing responses to any requests for updates until further notice. Now, Madam Chair, that is absolutely shocking in the fact that we have this major firm, and this is not an idle threat. If we don't get this through, they will move somewhere else. And it's not a matter, we don't even know whether NIEA will approve it, but they themselves are sitting in a situation with planning permission on another site, but they want to bring it to Cookstown. So I was going to say that I would propose that we write to the ministers, but after midnight tonight, they will no longer be in place. So I'm asking that if we can invite those from NIEA and along to a meeting, and Road Service DFI, on one specific issue, and that is the response time to planning matters, because I'm told that there are other planning applications that are sitting waiting on response from both of them. As regards this application, DFI Roads have been involved from day one in this. They have made recommendations. Now it has gone up to their top team, and we're still waiting on a response. So, Madam Chair, if it's in order, I would propose that we write to NIEA and to DFI, the people concerned, about their response times to planning issues. Thank you.
Councillor Clark, you're looking on the same issue, or a different
issue? No, it's not. It's just there was a proposal earlier there in relation to teachers' pay. Does that need a seconder?
There was consensus, but if there
right, okay.
We can take that just to be sure. Councillor Graham?
I'd just like to second Councillor Wilson's proposal.
Okay, thank you. And the next, Councillor Mohan.
Just for housekeeping, Councillor McPeak's proposal, just to second that to make sure it's all.
Okay. Councillor Sean McGuigan.
Thank you, Chair. Recently I got correspondence from St Mary's High School, 5 Mile Town, from the Board of Governors, and it was around they were seeking support from the Council in one of their campaigns. They have already gained the support of both the churches in the village and are now working their way through the political representatives. So basically their campaign is focused around countering the argument made within the Case for Change document, and they highlight quite clearly that they meet all the criteria for sustainable schools, and they go through each of them are classified as very good or highly effective outcomes. So obviously the main issue is focused around the numbers within the school, and despite the fact that there has been a strong enrolment and steady growth in it, it's quite clear they won't meet the 105 required. But then again, we have to look at the fact that there's over 200 all primary schools in the same boat, and also there's 20% of those schools are actually lower numbers than this particular one. So again, I think that we need to reflect upon that. The other thing mentioned in it was obviously the education's, if you want to call it, negative position on composite classes. But again, in this school here, I think it's showing that it's delivering a high quality education within that system, and therefore should be supported. In general terms, then, we have to look at the benefits of the school, and obviously for the not only for the education that it provides for the kids, but also for the sustainability of the village and all itself. The school is certainly classified as a shared space within the village, and the perception would be that if you close that type of school, that you're turning the village into a single identity village, which we as a council shouldn't be encouraging. We should be trying to prevent. So I would ask the council then if they could forward in our support to, I presume, the department, also maybe the education authority, and sort of highlight our stance in support of the school. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Councillor McAleer. Sharon McAleer.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. It's just to say that I received correspondence, it's probably something similar to Sean. I'm not going to say everything Sean's just said there, but I'm in agreement with everything he said. And obviously the school itself is also known as a community hub in the area, and they don't have a GAA club, and at the moment their actual the chapel is closed for renovations, so that is known as their community hub. But they are looking after a minority in the area, and I think it's important that we remember that, that to take that away, then we are, you know, if they take that school away, it's a minority that's going to suffer. So that's a very important point, I think. Thank you.
Thank you. And can we get a seconder for that proposal? Or Councillor McAleer, you're happy to second?
Yeah, sorry. Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay, and we'll move on then to matters for decision. So item 5, reconvene Policy and Resources Committee minutes of the 20th of September. Can I get a proposer and a seconder? Councillor Gilden, you proposing?
Yep.
Yeah, and a seconder?
Councillor Quinn.
Councillor Quinn, and any issues? Okay, and item 6 then, Council minutes of the meeting held 22nd of September. Councillor Kerr. Opposing, seconder,
Chair, just want to raise an issue, Andrew. Just we had the very briefly, but the deputation from the Housing Executive, and just yesterday, very concerned just in relation to the situation where contractors have been released. I appreciate maybe why that has happened, but if we could write to the Housing Executive just to ensure that projects that were on the verge of starting between now and Christmas, that they won't slip or disappear of any lists, that the work will come back on as soon as possible, the new tendering process is done as soon as possible, that I know one particular family I was speaking to today has been waiting on this renovation work for 4 years. They were due to start now November time, and now it's all up in the air. So just that the list is taken on again as where we are, and it doesn't just disappear altogether.
Okay. Councillor Monteith.
Chair, I'm happy to second Councillor Cuthbertson. I wasn't able to get the meeting last month, but I know in previous meetings of the Housing Executive it was raised at the lack of information for tenants in relation to maintenance and projects and work to their homes, and it was totally inadequate. And when the email came in, I think it was yesterday evening for ourselves, and they said that over the coming period they'll be contacting tenants. It's not good enough. We shouldn't know before tenants. You know, tenants should have been informed immediately if there was an issue. And I totally support the idea of a meeting, but in the correspondence of the meeting, we should be making it clear that tenants need to be informed as a matter of utmost urgency as to the implications for them for work that they're waiting on. And as Councillor Cuthbertson rightly says, some people have been waiting a long, long time on this, and I think it's just not good enough. And I think sometimes what happens then is whenever folk go and complain to the Housing Executive, they say, well, we told the council, we told all this sort of thing. At the end of the day, we're not and should not be the defender of bad decisions. We make enough good and bad decisions of our own to defend. So definitely very happy to support, and you know, tenants should be informed immediately. We raised this before the Housing Executive, and you get all the bland promises that it's going to change, and it doesn't change.
Okay. Councillor Elter.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I'm a bit croaky, so I hope you can all hear me okay. I just want to agree that it's a very difficult situation, and as I'm on the Housing Council for Mid-Ulster Council, and also at the minute for a few more months at least on the board of the Housing Executive, communication should be key. And we have I can bring forth the comments from the council to the Housing Executive Board, but I think a letter would also be a good idea, and also to the Housing Council meeting on the 10th of November. To reassure Councillor Cuthbertson, we have been assured by the officers in the Housing Executive that the money is still there for those schemes. Those schemes will go ahead, but unfortunately there will be a delay of about 6 to 9 months. And I know that that's very, very distressing for tenants who've been waiting a long time for repairs. But I would like to support the idea of a letter being sent, and I will bring up the issue myself, as I said, at the Housing Council meeting and with the board. Thank you.
Councillor Wilson, or is your hand up from before?
Yeah. No, thank you, Chair.
Following on from Councillor Allister's report there, the thing is that it's all right telling the Housing Council that money is there or the projects are there. If we're going to write a letter, I think we need to seek clarification that these projects will still go ahead. And in the short term, what are they going to do with the money that they have ring-fenced? We've got to make sure that it still stays ring-fenced for those projects. And will that in turn mean that when they go out to contract, that the schemes that they have put back, and it says for Councillor Allister says 6 to 9 months, that other schemes that had been planned for the following year will be included at the same time, because I know of various schemes that have been set apart by a year, and I'm just wondering if both those schemes through the Housing Executive will run together. So therefore I make a proposal that in the letter that we're sending, that we seek written confirmation from the Housing Executive that these projects will go ahead and that the money will be ring fenced. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to second that part. Just to confirm, you'd seconded the council minutes, Councillor Cuthbertson?
Well, I hadn't, no, but.
If anybody would like to. Does anybody want to second the council minutes? Councillor Sean McGuigan, thank you.
Sorry, Chair. Sorry, could I just come back quickly on that? Agree with everything to do with the letters and writing it and everything and getting those reassurances in writing from the Housing Executive, but just to update councillors and let them know that we have been told by the Chief Executive of the Housing Executive that those schemes and the money for them are ring-fenced. Unfortunately, what has happened is that the construction costs have just, and costs of windows and different things have gone up so much that the contractors felt that they were unable to deliver the contracts within the money that was allocated under the contracts. So the Housing Executive released them from their contracts in some cases so that the contractors themselves wouldn't go bust. People, and they would be protecting their employees' jobs, but the money is ring-fenced, we have been assured. So I know that it's very little help to those people that are waiting, and to all of us here in the council that represent them, but hopefully those schemes will take place. The money is ring-fenced, but it will be just a bit of time yet. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that, Councillor Allister. And we'll go on to item 7 then, council minutes of the meeting held 29th of September. If I can get a proposer and seconder, Councillor Kerr and a seconder.
Happy to second.
Thank you. And item 8 then, planning committee minutes held on the 4th of October. If I can get a proposer and seconder.
Pose.
Councillor Brown and two to second. Councillor Quinn. And any issues? Okay, item 9 then, P&R committee minutes of the meeting held 6th of October. If I can get a proposer and seconder. Councillor Kearney. Councillor Doris to second. And
finish. I was just looking to comment on an issue. So I couldn't propose
that. That's okay. Can I just get a seconder first and then I'll take you in?
Councillor McKinney.
Thank you, Councillor McKinney. And Councillor Joris, if you want to come in on the issue then.
Yeah, Garmin Yoga. Chair, I was looking to comment in on item PR1924/22. Which is currently under confidential business, but I think it's essential for community confidence in the council that it comes into open business. So I'd like to propose that it comes into open business now.
Can we get that reference again, Councillor Doris?
Yes, yeah, it's PR192/22.
P
Chair, can I suggest that it remains in confidential business? This, we're preparing contractual arrangements, and for good reason, certain items are put in confidential business, particularly when financial issues have to be completed and there's outstanding funding arrangements. So I'd propose that Council retain it where it is on the agenda.
That was made on social media that I was looking to address, so it's already been put out in the open.
Chair, I think Councillor Doris is perfectly entitled. Perhaps it would be reasonable to raise it when we get to the item under confidential business.
Councillor McKenna.
Proposing that it stays in confidential business. We've come through this before and we didn't bring it out in previous times, so I'm happy for it to stay in confidential business. Due to the delicacy of the matter, I want it.
Okay, we'll move on then to item 10, Environment Committee minutes of the meeting held the 11th of October.
Proposed.
Seconder, Councillor Graham. And any issues, Councillor Kerr.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, the issue is the review of waste collection, E231/22. Chair, I'd just like to raise the issue that of the new bin schedules, which have affected many residents living in the Clyde and Clun area. Can the new routes, new days, be once again reminded to staff, just so this can be nipped in the bud? As we all know, the inconvenience of a missed bin can have on residents.
And item 11, Development Committee minutes of the meeting held 13th of October. If I can get a proposer and second it. Councillor Kerr and a seconder. Can I get Councillor McNamee? Okay, and Ryan, you have an issue you want to raise?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Members, this relates to D158 of the Development Committee minutes, the Air Quality Report for 2022. This item was considered at the committee, where it was resolved that the committee recommend to the council that, subject to legal advice being sought, we write to residents living within two of our air quality management areas of Newell Road in Dungannon and Charlemont Street in Moy to advise of concerns relating to air quality. Since the meeting, officers have discussed the recommendation with our legal colleagues, and we have confirmed that the Council is complying with our duties under the Environment Order 2002 in regards to air quality. The legal view is that stepping outside of what the legislation requires us to do is not advisable and could be subject to legal challenge. Members are reminded, as discussed at the committee, our air quality progress reports are publicly available, either online or through direct request from the public. I know the committee discussed a number of issues in relation to the air quality progress report, and to try and move some of those forward, I would recommend that we proceed to setting up the meeting with the key agencies identified as part of the air quality action plan as soon as possible to discuss and review the plan, and also to explore any potential short or longer term actions, which can also consider issues around community engagement and awareness in regards to the wider air quality issue. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Monteith.
Sure, I've been speaking to Ryan on and off on the day again. Disappointing that we can't be more proactive in reaching out to the folk who are living in these areas. So I'm suggesting, and I know I've been speaking to some of the people who work within the different nationalities in the area about organising a meeting and inviting environmental health to it. I totally understand the situation that we may not have much to tell them, but I think for us to say that it's in the local paper and on our website is insufficient for the vast majority of those residents who, I can't speak 100%, but I'm pretty sure most of them do not have English, most of them do not read our website, most of them do not read local papers, and it's an issue in relation to their health. As I said at the committee meeting, you know, if we are aware of rats or mice in an area, the council has no problem in writing out letters to adjoining postcodes to notify people, even though we are not going to take any action. We notify people of the issue that they can take whatever measures they see fit in their own home, and I don't think this would have been any different. However, If that's the legal advice, that's the legal advice. So I think that's the way it's moved forward. I'm going to continue conversations with those folk, and I know Councillor Mai was talking to some of the ones in the Mai. We'll do something similar, and we'll invite Environmental Health to come and explain that with interpreters, because I don't accept for 1 minute that we're doing what we should. We have not just a statutory responsibility, we have a moral responsibility to try and do our best to get information to folk. And for us to just say, well, it's in English and it's in the on the website, so in the papers, that's good enough. It's not good enough, in my opinion, Chair. So.
Okay, Councillor Malloy.
Thanks, Chair. Similarly, sentiments, and I was spoke around today on that as well. And whilst we have fulfilled our obligations around it, the conversation that we need to have is broader. And I accept that council have a role to monitor and report, but it doesn't stop there for every statutory body, and it needs broadened out into that conversation with DFA Roads and other like-minded bodies that are in control of the situation or can have an influence on the situation, where we come up with some alternative, whether it's the road designs, whether it's overhanging trees or whatever is causing the issue. But we have to have that conversation to alleviate this issue. We can't go on year in, year out, noting that air quality in these areas, and there's more than just the two, that they are substandard.
Okay, thank you. Item 12 then, Development Committee minutes of the meeting held 20th of October. Councillor Clark.
Yeah, I propose.
Proposed. And a seconder, please.
Councillor Kerr.
Okay. And any issues? Okay. Yeah. And we'll move on to item 13 then, Festive Lights Funding. Ryan, that's.
Chair, we're just seeking approval for Council to refer the request to the PNR Committee.
Okay. Can I get a proposer and seconder? Councillor Mallaghan and Councillor Quinn. Okay, and item 14, conference report. Get all okay?
Yes, Chair. It's just a report as presented, Chair. It's on for approval here tonight. And as always, the actual conferences and seminars are listed under Appendix 1 of the report for any member who wishes to attend any of those conferences. So they're on for approval here this evening from Council. If any member wishes to conform to the Democratic Services Department, inform us that you'd like to attend any of those conferences. And there's also an Appendix 2 as well, with requests from members of staff from Council to attend conferences as well. So on for approval, Chair, as presented.
Okay. Councillor Mahan.
Chair, could just make a comment, Chair. I think it was last Friday the National Association of Councillors AGM was held in the Glenavon Hotel in Cookstown. There's a wide representation of councillors from across the north, some visitors from England and some from the ALG in Southern Ireland. And at the request of NILGA and NAC, the council provided a goodie bag for every single person. There was a lot of work went into it, and it really set Middle Ulster in a very good light. So I just want to acknowledge through the Chief Executive the number of people who helped out to prepare those goodie bags. They were very extensive. I was the one down south, and the one down south was only a fraction of what we had. So congratulations to everybody in Middle Ulster. We certainly set the council in a very good light. Thank you.
Thank you. That's great to hear. And item 15 then, civic recognition report, if I can get a proposal and seconder, Councillor Mallaghan.
Chair, happy to propose a paper, but I would also like to address one of the nominations, which is Philomena Begley for her 60th year in show business. Chair, I think this particular item should be raised to a civic honour. Philomena has turned 80 this year, and it's her 60th year in show business, as it says in the report, but this is probably Mid-Ulster's highest selling artist of all time. Over 100,000 albums worldwide, has played in many countries and invited to play in the Grand Ole Opry, has produced 30 albums, and I just think, given the distinction and how she carries herself right across these islands and beyond, that she is deserving of the Council's highest award, which is a civic honour. So I make that proposal.
Okay, Councillor Malloy.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Chair, it's just a relation to two
items. Oh, one wee second, Councillor Malloy. I thought it was the same. Actually, separate actually as well. I'm happy to second Cahill's. I was recently down at the album launch there, and I think Philomena is a great ambassador for the Mid-Ulster area, and what she's achieved is unbelievable, and that she's still on the road at 80, like, it speaks volumes. Like, she is some woman, so she is so long we should keep going, but I would be very happy to second that. Councillor Quinn.
Sorry, Chair, I was just coming to second it. I agree with Councillor Monaghan in every way. I was just wondering, Chair, I had sort of made the same proposal a couple of months ago and then was told it couldn't happen for different reasons. I'm glad to see that she's on it and getting that award. If it could be added, my name could be added to that as well, Chair, but certainly happened to second it. She played my in-law's wedding, my father and mother-in-law's wedding, sang at it, and it's a big source of pride from them as people from Primaroy. So she's near and dear to the in-laws, that's for sure.
And Councillor Kerr?
Chair, I'm happy to second the report, Chair, but I'd sent a request in, but it was missed. It was Fibre Optics had won a business award, Chair. Just could it be audit, please?
As long as it meets the criteria. Okay, and then Councillor Malloy.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I totally agree. Philomena, a great ambassador for the area. Chair, in relation to an award proposed there for Linden Foods, declaring interest as an employee, but happy to have my name added if it's possible. And Chair, in relation to the award proposed for the late Damien Casey, Chair, since that, and I recognise that it has been recognised before in his achievements, but given that under the circumstances and that Damien was named as the Hurler of the Year for the Nicky Record competition this year, so he was, which I don't think he achieved before, and in recognition of his achievements throughout his short life, which tragically cut short, I would propose that if it's not doable under this chair, that yourself as chair would look to some kind of a recognition event for Damien's family. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Malloy, and yes, I'm happy to look at that, so we'll get a wee chat and I'll second that if it needs to be. Okay, Councillor Monteith.
Chair, it was the same issue as with Councillor Malloy. I had wished to have my name added to the names for Damien Casey. I had also submitted it, and over the weekend I submitted a request for a civic nomination for the recent award that he's got. I would urge a little bit of caution because there are a number of other potential awards coming up, so if we just hold off maybe a number of weeks just to see how it goes, and most certainly Damien, is well entitled to the highest honour that we can give. He is, without a shadow of a doubt, the greatest hurler that Tyrone ever produced. Not only that, an outstanding role model. So I would urge the council, and I think it would be only a bit fitting. Yes, he's been recognised before, but Councillor Malloy is correct. To my understanding, he's never named the Nicky Record Player of the Year. So I think that does open the door to a higher level of recognition, Chair. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Councillor O'Neill.
Yes, thanks, Chair. I'm just looking to know if my name could be added to the Killeen Credit Union Award, please. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Sean McPeak.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I was wondering, could Ethan Doherty be uplifted from the letter from the chair to the Civic Reception Award in light of his nomination for Ulster GAA All Stars? Now, Ethan was one of nine Derry players. It was a good year for Derry last year in that they got nine awards for the Ulster GAA All Stars. But Ethan is the only one that's nominated down for the letter, and that I think was because he achieved a minor award within the last 3 year period. But I think it's unfair in this situation that, he's the only one out of nine
that's not going to be reciprocated. And given the fact that it was a different level, that I propose that he's nominated for the award along with his 8 colleagues.
I'll second that, Chair. Brian McGuigan.
Sorry, Councillor McPeak. We're going to have a look at the policy, and if we can't do anything there, I'll have a wee look at doing like a chair's reception, if that's okay.
That's okay.
Okay, thank you. And Councillor McLean.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I don't want to be a spoilt sport in the midst of all of this, but I would caution against us moving the goalposts, for want of a better word. When I was a chair, I acknowledged Philomena Begley. I had a small reception for her in the Brenavon, along with others, for her contribution to the country and Western music industry. Her family were there, and I have to agree with all the other people that have spoken. She has done a fantastic job, and she is a great ambassador for her music industry and for the area. But we have set criteria, and we have went and spent some time doing all of that. And, you know, if you move it for one, where do you stop? And what I would suggest is that we don't do what we have stated, but we go away and look how else it can be done. And you are in a prime position, just as I was in a prime position, to do something as the chair for somebody of that stature. And I would suggest that we look at that other than moving the goalpost. I mean, if I wanted to be really awkward about it, the Reverend William McRae, councillor, has gold and platinum and silver discs from Nashville and all the rest of it. So, you know, whilst it mightn't be everybody's cup of tea here, you know, is he not entitled to something of that as well? And he's world fame and renowned. So, you know, we have to be reasonable and fair about the whole thing. And that's what I'm just asking. I think there needs to be a certain amount of caution put in that. So I suggest that we go away tonight, have a discussion about it, and see how that it can be properly sorted out from that point of view. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Mallahan.
Thanks, Chair. I think this is actually a wee bit unfortunate that we're going down this line here. I'm not trying to move the goalposts. I am challenging the officer's decision in terms of how they have graded this level of civic honour or civic category. So what I'm saying is, it's my view that Philomena meets the standard for civic honour. I'm not saying we move the goalposts. I'm just saying that's the way I feel about it. And I think I've got the agreement from councillors around the room. I'm really disappointed now that this is where this conversation has went to at a public council meeting. Could have had this conversation. I know that there's actually a working group of the civic forum. An email has been sent out today that's going to happen next month. So, you know, we shouldn't add any negativity to this item.
Councillor Glasgow.
Thank you, Madam Chair. No, listen, I at the end it is everybody within these lists, and I was just looking, you know, I had the exact same conversation, if not or before COVID, where it turned into a full discussion because I didn't agree with policy or I didn't agree with the criteria. I was told on the night the criteria was a criteria agreed by this council, and that was it. And I think the people that I actually, in fairness, I think Councillor Kearney was chair at the time, had done something. As his responsibility whenever he was chair, and it was fully appreciative. But I know, you know, as we're talking about, you know, criteria is changing or moving goalposts. Everybody, I think, within these lists is well and truly should be congratulated, you know, for the work that they do. But if you look, you know, there's many people that's getting letters could argue the same fact that they too should be getting civic receptions or something similar. So I would just be cautious because I've previously been in this situation before. Not to bring into a light of the successful outcomes that people have had within and why they're receiving these awards, but also would be keen to see if there is an updated criteria from tonight, because I'd be quite keen to see that. And if there's a workshop, I think that review needs to take place sooner rather than later, that we don't have these conversations.
Chair, there's a meeting planned for the 22nd of
November.
In Cookstown to review this criteria, because these discussions have been happening for 7 years. They're not new. The criteria was set and is broad to allow for such discussions. The recommendation in relation to the said individual from Councillor Malahan was an uplift that the criteria provides for as it stands. And the other recommendations is very subjective. There's no black and white scenario here. So Philip and I are listening. We're taking on board what the members are saying. We've taken on board the recommendations tonight. Unless we're wrong, there's no direct contradiction to the criteria that we have been using in the past. But the criteria is not restrictive to the point where it's black and white. It's always and has always been subjective. So my suggestion is, Chair, we will consider what has been suggested here tonight. We'll move forward on that basis. And members would help officers a great deal if those subjective areas were suitably addressed in November for the years ahead. And then it would be much more clear cut.
Thank you, Adrian. So we'll look at that, but hopefully we can get a different award. Okay, so if we can get a proposer and seconder in that then. Councillor Monteith, Councillor Malahan. Okay, and matters for information then. Oh, sorry, Councillor McFlynn.
I just wanted to come in as well with regards to the letter that's going to the Rainey for their their success in the cup that they won. I know it's on here that they did get a recognition in 22 for the cup that they won. Could that be checked again just to make sure that trophy they won it last year in 21, this is a new, I know it's the same cup, but they fought for it again this year, and I think they're entitled to an award for winning it this year.
Yep, we'll get that checked out. Is that okay? And matters for information then, item 16, consultations. Councillor Monteith.
Chair, it's the release to the consultation on the Stirling Health and Social Care Trust inpatient dementia services consultation, the proposal to have a specialist inpatient dementia unit in the Bluestone mental health unit in Craigavon Area Hospital. I think we need to be involved in this discussion. I'm not sure, so I'm going to be hesitant to say, but I'd be concerned about potential implications this would have for Lone House in the South Throne site, a very valuable asset to the local community, which means an awful lot to the local community. There was talk of something like this before, and there was talk of Lone House being closed. So I think, number one, we need to clarify, is there any potential implication of Lone House with this? But also, we need to have a proper discussion in relation to is there the capacity for to deal with this? I raised it in development about the issues that some of the staff in Lone House were having because mental health patients were being placed in Lone House and the training wasn't there for it. So just concerned about, you know, this sort of, there are two distinct issues with distinct care needs and distinct training needs. And I just have a concern here that this, you know, we're moving down a direction of travel here where dementia and mental health are almost being put in the one bracket. So I think it's something we need to be very pay close attention to. So I propose that we do a consultation on this and again open it up maybe for a workshop for all members, because dementia is an issue that every single one of us is dealing with on a regular basis, helping folk negotiate their way through different diagnoses and stuff like that, and it's something that every one of our families are coming up with. So undoubtedly inpatient unit and inpatient provision is long overdue, but you know it's important that it's correct and the right inpatient facilities for this community. There seems to be an obsession in the Sutherland Trust that everything has to go into Craigavon, and everything has to go into Craigavon Hospital, and we even see now to the detriment of Daisy Hill in Newry, which is beginning the process of a downgrade, and we need to fight to keep services local, Chair. So I propose that we do a response on this, but I would argue also we should look about a meeting with management and Sutherland Trust on this issue. Would do no harm as well, Chair, because it's a big, big issue and something that we need and something we need to keep a close eye on, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Cuthbertson.
Sorry, Chair, it's the correspondence part of the auditor information.
Okay.
So.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Keir. Councillor Barry McGuigan.
Yeah, it's the consultation from the Department of Education, Chair, entitled Every Child. It's the consultation relates to the Department of Education's draft corporate plan, which they'll be working on in partnership with stakeholders, and that's to help improve outcomes for children and young people. And I think that's an important one to respond to. Now, I'll leave it to officers. I don't know what committee that'll go to, but the officers will know where to direct that. But it's important, and it closes on the 15th of November. So I think that's one that we need to be feeding into. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, if you're happy on that one, can members agree delegated authority to the respective committee given the time frame?
Yeah. Haven't an issue with that.
Yeah, that's okay. Councillor Sean McGuigan, are you looking on the last one?
Aye, thank you, Chair. Same as Councillor Monteith, like, and something similar maybe in the ideas and conversation around it, I suppose. Just to examine the overlap and what provision they're talking about and how that impacts upon their decisions where they say they don't have the required staff to deal with, etc. Like, so it's getting a clear picture of what their proposals are and also doing a response to it. So again, happy with what Barry and Don is proposing second to be involved in.
Thank you. Councillor Ellerter.
Thank you, Chair. It's just in relation to the Housing Executive's draft corporate plan. The response to that's not due in until the 14th of December, so maybe that could be looked at in the relevant committee as well, considering all the discussion we had earlier about the Housing Executive. And there's different levels within that corporate plan that we could maybe comment on. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and item 17 then, correspondence report. Okay, Councillor Monteith, Councillor Cuthbertson.
Chair, yeah, just on the correspondence there from the Minister in relation to the cutting the grass verges, or I suppose the lack of cutting the grass verges, while happy to support natural habitats in areas where that can happen, but you know, the cutting of grass verges was not adequate this past year, and I can see and envisage all sorts of problems coming into next year. Cutting half a metre of a swathe along a country road in under the likes of hogweed and bramble, you know, there's a safety issue, and I like to think that the minor country roads won't be left with just about 10 or 15 metres at a junction, because we're going to face all sorts of problems next year. But I suppose it's more or less a comment on a chair rather than an action at this stage.
Okay. Just on the same issue that Councillor Cuthbertson raised there, I think they will be looking at that there, but I would like to welcome the letter, because I think it'll is good for biodiversity, and when you see the verges that it's done properly on, it's nice to look at as well, and the benefits that it brings to our wildlife and our bees and that. So as long as it's managed properly,
certain locations,
I'm sure it will be. Councillor Keir.
Chair, just regarding the correspondence, two items, Chair. The last month's meeting, or the meeting we'll have with Road Service, Chair, I'd mentioned the Clough Roundabout, a biodiversity scheme. I think the next action they said was to contact the local section office chair, so I would appreciate if our council officers can reach out to Leslie Maxwell at the local section office and initiate a conversation, Chair. Chair, the second item is the Derry and Strabane correspondence about Mo Donoghue. Chair, support some of the motion outlined in the letter for the British Secretary of State not to introduce a controversial scheme to withhold information going to Noah Donoghue's family. I've absolutely no faith in the PSNI REC's investigation. I've, like many, followed the investigation, and it seems quite deliberate that the investigation is flawed. Many leads and persons of interest have been castigated as rumour and innuendo. What is needed is an independent international investigation free from British intelligence or the PSNI REC's grasp. The family deserves truth and justice, and the circumstances which Noah was found is very alarming, and to say foul play is not a serious line of inquiry is very disturbing. I'd like to send my solidarity to Noah's family, and I know one day the family will get answers, and like always, good will overcome evil.
Okay, Councillor Monaghan.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to second that. I see just a few hours ago the family received news that they will get a jury for their inquest, which is great news and something they campaigned very hard for. So it's to support the motion. I'm certainly not saying I'm in any way an expert on this case, but anything that I've read, seen or heard over the last while in regards to this case, it stinks from high heaven. So there needs to be as much accountability and transparency as possible to bring some sort of closure. And I know that's not probably a great word in these circumstances, but the family need to get to the truth, and that's going to be the best they can hope for in these circumstances. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Monteith.
Chair, I was just going to second Councillor Kerr as well, and highlight Councillor Wallace already said it there. The last couple of hours, the jury trial has been announced. This is a case that has implications for all of us, implications for the safety of our young people, and that not only our young people should be safe, they should feel safe and be safe. And any support we can give the Donoghue family is the least we can do, Chair.
Thank you. And Councillor Quinn.
Yeah, I'd just like to echo Councillor Monteith and Councillor Kerr and Councillor Monaghan. Transparency is the big thing. People have to have faith in the justice system here. And basically any movement that the Secretary of State have done and others has just taken away from that, and has just muddied the water and left question after question. So I'm more than happy to second that motion. Chair, also two other points in a rarity I'm going to agree, or a rarity for this council, for Sinn Féin and the SDLP to both agree on a positive for the Minister of Infrastructure, for once. I think adverge management is an excellent scheme, something I've been calling for a long time when it comes to wildflowers. So it's welcome to see, and I'm asking if our council officers can liaise with DFI just to find out where this will be implemented across Mid Ulster and see if we can then bring along our own grounds to complement it. And then just on another note, I had mentioned at the meeting with Road Service last month in relation to the Mountjoy Road. And I see they've come back and they say they look at a scheme. But as I'll emphasise this again, as I did at the meeting, this junction of two bad corners, somebody's going to die on it. Somebody's going to get hit by a car, or a pedestrian's going to get hit, because it's an excellent black spot. And literally at the weekend, I had another call from residents to say that another car had ended up in the garden. And somebody is going to die, simple as that, unless DFI or somebody pulls the finger out and gets this issue sorted. Thank you.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Colvin.
Yes, Chair. I think some of the remarks that have been made here go rather further than Derry Strabane indicated on their letter. And we've been asked now to support something, and we're all in agreement with transparency and justice. I mean, there's no difficulty there. There's certain remarks made by some councillors that I couldn't possibly be associated with. There's absolutely no evidence for what they said. That's their opinion, and my opinion would be slightly different. I'd have thought the Secretary of State was acting on good legal advice. I imagine I take the view as a man of integrity. So therefore, if we're going to support this, I would like to clarify that really all we're doing here is supporting Derry Strabane Council and what they have said in their letter, and not more than that. Thank you.
Yes, Chair, I think that's all in front of Council. There's a letter and there's a clear direction from Derry and Strabane, and my understanding is that members are agreeing to support the content of the letter and make that known.
Okay. Okay, thank you, and I also support as well, and it's good to hear that there will now be a jury at the inquiry. Okay, so we'll move on to notice of motions. Item 18, Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Chair. Right, I'll go through the motion here as notified. This council recognises the significant investment in rural communities and businesses and the wider economy derived from the single farm payment under the EU Common Agriculture Policy. Agrees that the capped single farm payments were critical to farm profitability, particularly for small family farms. Is concerned with the significant uncertainty facing our farming community with the loss of capped single farm payments as a result of Brexit and the end of the replacement basic scheme worth £300 million a year beyond 2024, and calls on the British Government and the Minister of Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs to set out urgently what replacement funds will be put in place to support our farmers and the wider agricultural sector. So I wish to formally propose a motion, and I have some notes here, speaking notes, if okay to proceed with them. The loss of direct payments will be felt by over 25,000 farm businesses, with over 40,000 farmers and workers. Financial support from direct payments represents over 80% of farm income a year. Many farms in the north are in less favoured areas and depend on direct payments. Data shows the total amount of single farm payment a year for our constituency of Mid Ulster is £31.106 million. Direct payments have assisted farmers to produce safe, nutritious, healthy and affordable food and look after the countryside and environment and animal health and welfare. The produce of these farms contributes substantially to the supply of product, which contributes to so much of our processing industry and the knock-on benefits of employment through that sector. Farming income remains below the average, and direct payments are vital to their survival. We are concerned about the negative impact this uncertainty will have on the health and well-being of our farm community. They don't deserve this. A paper produced by Queen's University highlighted that without direct financial support, approximately 30% of farms are likely to cease functioning, leading to unemployment, land abandonment and knock-on effects within the agri-food sector and rural communities in particular. Farmers need clarity and certainty around payments going forward. Agriculture is a key pillar of our economy, so the British Government must commit to certainty of farm payment well into the future beyond 2024. Every year, approximately £300 million of payments comes into the north to our farmers and agricultural sector. The European Union placed a priority on farming and protected it for decades through the Common Agricultural Policy. The Common Agricultural Policy Pillars 1 and 2 have been vital to farmers and farming and rural communities. Since Brexit, farm payments come from Treasury, and the Tory manifesto has committed until the end of their mandate, which is probably uncertain at this time. So Sinn Féin wants a fair standard of living and a secure future for our farmers. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Clark. And a seconder, Councillor Gildernew.
Okay, Chair, thank you. I would formulate the second motion. I think it's very, very timely to bring it to this council now. I'm sure most of us, if not nearly all of us here, are connected to the rural community, whether directly or indirectly, in our direct farming or in jobs or relationships or whatever. And it will be a massive blow if this is taken away. And it's very timely to take it now, because we're in then in 2022. Doesn't belong slipping around to 24. And I think we do need a commitment, and I would thank Councillor Clark for bringing the motion, and happy to second it. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Kearney.
Okay, thank you, Chair. SDLP welcome this motion and the need to replace uncertainty on future funding with clarification. We have debated the importance of cap funding many times in this council, and indeed how all roads lead back to that Brexit vote. Prior to Brexit, 70% of all EU funding in Northern Ireland fell under the cap and other rural funding. which provided over £300 million, as Councillor Clark has indicated, each year to farming families and rural communities. And for farmers, that represents 87% of their annual income. There are 25,000 farms in Northern Ireland. They employ over 40,000 people. 70% of those farms, and many of the farms in Mid-Ulster, are located in the less favoured area. And indeed, 23% of all farms are less than 10 hectares. 10 hectares, that indicates how small they are. And indeed, in the year that's passed, we all realise that the farming community has met many difficulties with the cost of food and fertiliser and fuel. So firstly, I welcome confirmation from Minister Poots that the basic payment scheme will be replaced by a farm sustainability payment, and that other support schemes will be introduced with funding guaranteed for 3 years to 2025. That's welcome news to farmers to help them carry out their work while also implementing measures that are good for the environment. So despite all the positives, I know many farmers will be keen to learn further details of this additional support scheme, particularly those specified to better meet local needs and to help a variety of farms develop their businesses. But like any scheme, we do need clarity so that farmers can plan both for the immediate future and the long term. It is also important then that the farm sustainability payment continues to operate beyond the next 3 years, a scheme that provided thousands of pounds a year to farms across the north who would simply be unable to operate without it. And so we need assistance from DARA and the British government that these farmers will not face a cliff edge when the three-year period ends. So in summary, Chair, work needs to begin now to develop a strategy to provide for and secure the long-term sustainability of the agriculture and agri-food sector. So we will fully support this motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Brown.
Thank you, Chair. We're not against the ethos of the proposal that's been put forward by Councillor Clark, but I just want to make a few comments. I think it's rather crass of Sinn Féin to have a brass neck about talking about support for our farmers and profitability on our farms. This is the same party that backed the pie-in-the-sky climate targets brought forward by the Green Party, which would only have decimated farming and the wider agri-food sector, only to somersault when they saw that a large swathe of public opinion was moving against them. This is the same party whose also Stormont leader forced other executive ministers to take legal action in 2023 because of her decision to remove 100 million in direct farm payments and move that funding elsewhere without agreement. There is a misconception that in the European Union basic payments are delivered in perpetuity without the need to renew that funding every few years. Brussels works on the basis of multi-year funding cycles, just like the rest of us. Of course, the delivery of direct payments will be renewed after 2024. The DUP will be actively seeking to strengthen those processes. Of course, the sudden concern that Sinn Féin has about a sunset clause on the basic payment scheme stands in stark contrast to its blissful ignorance of the fact that by the end of 2024, without long-term solutions to the protocol, the supply of medicines to Northern Ireland from GB will be decimated. Where is the concern for the supply of veterinary medicines caught up in the protocol? Where is the same concern for certainty for producers and the wider agri-food sector when it comes to barriers on the movement of food and animals on the east-west corridor? Where is the concern for the reality that rigorous implementation of the protocol, which Sinn Féin supports, would crash the Northern Ireland supply chain within 48 hours? The reality is that Sinn Féin are only concerned about certainty for farms when it suits their agenda. The DUP, on the other hand, have demonstrated ongoing practical commitment to meeting the needs of all farms and all farm sectors throughout Northern Ireland. This has been shown in two major points. Annual funding from agricultural support in Northern Ireland has been guaranteed by the Treasury unto the end of this Parliament. Others mightn't like that, but the British government is guaranteeing it. The DUP has placed this at the top of the agenda in our previous negotiations with government, while others refused to turn up. Last month, the Agriculture Minister, Edwin Poots, issued annual payments to 23,208 farmers 6 weeks ahead of schedule. Taking into account the impact of the situation of Ukraine on the markets, this included a 2% one-off increase, something which simply would not be possible if Northern Ireland remained in the European Union. In fact, we have topped up the basic payment scheme for the past 2 years. The DUP has backed up our pledge to farm businesses, rural communities with tangible action. Sinn Féin, on the other hand, use these important sections of our economy and society to score cheap political points around Brexit. The DUP has demonstrated a vision for the future of agriculture. We're not afraid to take the tough decisions. Others should reflect on this when they seek to use the council as an echo chamber to engage in sensationalism and scaremongering while offering nothing in the way of actual solutions. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor McKenna.
Thank you, Chair. I'm declaring interest in the item, for start of all, as a farmer. But I'm not going to rehearse a lot of what's been said already. You know, obviously, anybody involved in agriculture will recommend the payment carrying on for the next number of years. But just to give you a little bit of history of what CAP was, the Common Agricultural Policy, was to support food production here within Northern Ireland. Unfortunately, over the number of years that this has been in place, a lot of this money has been diverted away to other things, and this council is quite a beneficiary of DEIRA money, three different programmes that has taken place. I would hate to ask JJ on the spot how much we have gained from DEIRA funding over the past number of years, but that was there to produce food at a cheaper rate to feed the people. It was there also there to provide food safety, that we can have safe food to eat. And I think if we see what happened in Ukraine with a war breaking out there, what happened here, food production here, price of grain is probably up 75%, price of fertiliser is up 300%. And that is all taken into consideration for the farmer whose input costs. I understand everybody's input costs is up, the price of a pint of milk and the price of a loaf of bread. But CAP was put for that. I think under the stewardship of the previous ministers, we have seen money being diverted away from what it should have been there for. Perhaps more money should have been sought for the projects which this money has been diverted to. The other thing is, this comes the night before, if I stand to be corrected, where all ministers will probably be stepping down either tonight at midnight or tomorrow. This conversation maybe would have been better in the early March. Minister Pitts did put out a draft, and I'm sure that Councillor Clark's party and every other party were in the stakeholders where this draft would come together of what the future payment would look like. So I think tonight, with the motion misleading to say that there's going to be a cliff edge come 2024 is not the truth. In March, there was a quite detailed agenda set out of what the future of payments would look like to those involved in agriculture. Bringing it back to home to this council, it's been said there that 10% of the budget comes to Mid Ulster. But also there's many here within Mid Ulster who work in the agri-food sector. And that 10% could maybe end up to being a 30% when we take the annual turnover of the meat processing, whether it be poultry, or whether it be pigs, or whether it be beef or lamb, or milk production, are the main five items. But what I would say with the future of the future project of funding agriculture, the pig sector, the poultry sector, and the cereal sector have all been neglected. So I would like to, if you write a letter to the minister, or whoever it may be after tomorrow, why these sectors have been left high and dry with absolutely no support in their future. And these are high input costs, which all using a lot of grain. And so I just want to maybe add that. And as for trusting individuals,
I don't know where the future will lie for agriculture. On a different note, just this afternoon, after 4 o'clock, I had this one suckler farmer saying that he's now going to sell out because the cost of production, of what he's production, doesn't add up for him anymore. With a wife and a family to feed, he can't sustain it. That's the position that the farmers in Mid-Ulster are in. I know there's going to be a lot of politics talk, perhaps after tomorrow or even tonight, but I would plead with every member of this council to think about those whose lives depend upon it and the support that is needed to carry on safe food for each and every one of us to eat, no matter what party we come from, and a future for the agribusiness in Northern Ireland. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mullaghan.
Thank you, Chair. And just to add my voice to support the motion, I think it's important that we do seek clarity in terms of what's coming down the line. And I'm not one for quoting Shakespeare, Chair, but the lady doth protest too much, methinks. And I think what we're hearing here tonight is a reaction to the catastrophic mistake of supporting Brexit in the first place. And the impact that that's now having on rural farmers and rural people is absolutely significant. So much so that in a recent TV broadcast, farmers in New Zealand who now have easy access to export their lamb to Britain, which is a lesser product than the product that is produced here, can't understand how they got a deal that is so good to them but so poor for farmers in the UK. Just as well, a word on the Common Agricultural Policy itself, which was started in 1962. And while the purpose of the CAP was to improve the relationship between farmers right across the European Union, to support farmers and to ensure farmers could make a decent living from their farm, it was also about sustaining rural communities. So there's always this misconception that the old Department for Agriculture was set up for farmers, but it wasn't. It was agriculture and rural development, and the same in this new guise today. So these civil servants and this pot of money that is set aside for agricultural activities is fantastic and it's great investment in our local communities. But the other purpose of that department and its role down through the years and the Common Agricultural Policy is to support rural communities and rural people, not just farming. And I think that is something that often gets lost. And I say that as a person with a conflict of interest. I'm a farmer, a beneficiary from single farm payment. That's in my register of interests. I'm quite happy to see that money, some of that money being diverted into rural communities, because I see the benefit of it whenever I go around, particularly in this council area where we are so good at making use of that money.
Thank you. Who else to speak? Okay, we'll move to a vote then, if that's all our speakers.
I'm just
conscious that Councillor McKinney suggested an alteration of sorts, and I suppose it wasn't entirely specific, but I'm asking if Councillor Clark is accepting that addition. It wasn't an alteration, it was an addition, and the words that Councillor McKinney used, I'd agree to add on reference to etc. So the question is Councillor Clark prepared to accept that addition, or is it the motion that we have in front of us? And if it's the latter, then it's put to the floor.
I'm just not quite sure the clarity of what that addition might be.
Yep, go ahead.
Make it simple, it's just to seek help for the poultry, the cereal. And the pigs.
Sorry, Fisher, I thought it was why they were left behind, or
There is no support on the future plan that nobody else seems to know anything about, only myself, but it was produced by Minister Pitch on the end of March, just prior to the last election.
Councillor Mullaghan.
Just a point of order, Chair. The last line of the motion as put forward says that and calls on the British Government and the Minister of Agriculture, Environment and Rural Affairs to set out urgently what replacement funds will be put in place to support our farmers and the wider agricultural sector. So I think it's there, but, you know, is covered.
I would agree. Councillor Clark.
Okay, I think, like, on listening to that, and I know what is in the motion, I think it is covered in the motion, and I'd be prepared to put the motion as it stands.
Happy with that, Councillor McKinnon.
I think we could just add, including pigs, poultry, and cereal on the bottom of it there, the agriculture sector, they've been neglected for too long. Even the previous has been neglected, and now it's still going to be neglected.
Chair, I think the proposer of the motion has made clear that his intent is to take the motion as is before the members this evening.
Just for clarification, the last line says, on the wider agricultural sector. So I think that's... I'm proposing that we'll...
Chair, if Councillor McKinney is proposing an amendment, if there's a seconder to that, then we can put that to the floor and revert back to the original motion. That is correct, and that has been the practice, Chair, and that's the call for the Chair to make that call. It has been the practice, and for good reason, that amendments are issued in advance to avoid this very situation, so that certain lines aren't changed and change the notion of the motion. So that's your call. It's very clear to me, Chair, that the proposer of the motion is asking that the motion as is put before us, so it's your call. I'm happy to accept that.
Okay, Councillor Gildernight.
I wanted to say I want to also declare an interest as being a recipient of the single farm payment in the motion. Thanks.
Thank you.
Chair, just a point of order before we get a whole rake of hands. If it's in your declaration of interest, your annual declaration, there's no need to. So
that's
just
fair enough.
To save people a lot of hassle.
Yep, we're all okay.
Chair, I understand that it has to be there before, but I'll make it even shorter. Can I make it one word? The last sentence, the wider agriculture, all sectors, just all sectors. If Councillor Clark doesn't want to be supported of pig, poultry or grain, that's up to Councillor Clark.
I think he's already said it.
If we read all sectors, then that covers all sectors of agriculture, not just what has been covered at the minute. I wanted to let know that these sectors are not getting any support at the minute under the present CAP. I don't know where anybody here knows that. These people do not get any support from the CAP.
I think that's what Councillor Clark had said there, that on wider he does mean all, but just to clarify. Yeah.
Chair, I just think we've said enough tonight in that we want to provide and secure the long-term sustainability of the agriculture and agri-food industry, and I think that takes everything forward. And the Farmers Union and everybody will have the right to comment and take that forward. So I think it's in the spirit of the motion that's been carried. And Councillor McKinney, you did talk about people on the knife edge, and then you illustrated a farmer that's on the knife edge. So your sentiments were correct.
Okay, I'm just going to take the motion as it is there. Councillor Clark has clarified, and because there wasn't a written amendment put in beforehand, but the sentiment there and what Councillor Clark has said, wider agricultural sector does include all the sectors, so I'm just going to go ahead with a vote as the motion is. Okay, so Councillor Ashton's not here. Councillor Bale.
For Chair.
Councillor.
The last part of the point of clarification, if there's no amendment and nobody has made a proposal against it, does a vote need to be taken?
If there's consensus in the room that we're happy to accept the motion. No dissent. Motion passed. Thank you all. Okay, Councillor Clark, have you concluding remarks
there? No, just it's very short. I would like to thank everyone who contributed, all of which was useful, and I think the motion covers it all, because as everybody knows, agriculture is a moving feast. What's success for the day mightn't be successful in a few months' time. It's up and down. So I think the motion is meant to do that, and I would like to thank the council for support.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Clark. Okay, so we'll move on to confidential business now, if I can get a proposal and second it. Okay, Councillor Quinn and Councillor Kerr. Okay, so that concludes. Oh, sorry. So that concludes our open business, and thank you to the public listening, and our live broadcast will now come to an end. It may take a few seconds, so if we just wait till that's confirmed. Thank you.